I have bad news and good news. Bad news, somebody got into the gardens outside and cut a bunch of the flowers. Good news is it was Carol Danielson. She put them on the table. Yeah.
One moment. No, no sneezing this time. These are church flowers. No allergies.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you for that. And doesn't it remind us how blessed we are? Those are just growing out there, just wonderful, beautiful stuff. Amen. I'm going to work out of the Acts passage that Debbie read for us. Paul and Silas, they're offering Christ. They're busy. They're going about that. Paya, I didn't check with you. I gave her two slides. The first slide, if you would. Okay, that's a map of the Mediterranean. Whenever people talk in the Bible, when I was sitting where you are, I always got lost geographically. This helps us see where there. You see Jerusalem on the bottom right. That's the Mediterranean, Eastern Mediterranean. And Paul, and he's been up there. You can see Ephesus. They've passed up through Troas. And now we're in Philippi. So get some sense. We're at the top of the Aegean Sea, and we have made that journey. And they get there, and they are carrying on, and most people remember this scripture. They're busy with their stuff, and this slave woman annoys Paul. So he casts out her spirit of divination, and the owners are angry, and they have Paul and Silas, and they have them cast into chains. And the rest of that story continues, and that's where most people focus. They're in prison in the middle of the night, and the guard is there, and there's an earthquake, and there's noise, and there's carrying on, and all their shackles and stocks are broken open. The doors of the jail are broken open, and the jailer, seeing this, prepares to kill himself. And Paul shouts out, "Don't kill yourself. We're still here. We haven't left." And they sing hymns together, and the guard is converted. You remember that piece of the story? You've probably heard that. You've probably heard that preached on. And that's what a lot of the people are focusing on as they are about hearing this piece of Acts. We didn't read it. That's all I'm going to cover about that. Because I want to go back and talk to this story about Paul being annoyed by this slave girl. She's a slave girl. We need to remember and keep that in mind. And it's hard to get our minds around how slavery and ownership and owners were in that period of time. But she had a spirit of divination. This spirit inhabits her. Have you ever met anybody that was good at divination? My mother was sharp, and she could figure out a lot of things and predict a lot of things. I'm not saying she had a gift or a spirit, but she was just sharp enough to have a sense of what things were about. She could cut to the meat of an issue pretty quickly. Was it spirit of divination? Certainly not as much as what we expect out of this scripture. And this woman follows them around, and she says, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." Yeah, there's the prison. Sorry, Paya. I forgot to tell her the other slide. See, there's the guard. He's getting ready to kill himself. And they're saying, no, hang tight, buddy. We're okay. And then they convert the guard. All right, you can go to the other slide now, Paya. I had it all organized. My train of thought had a derailment. There were no survivors. We heard that. Okay. So the woman is, and she's following them. And what is she saying? What did you hear her say? These are the real McCoy. They really are the spirit. They are proclaiming the Most High God. These are the real ones. Now, you think Paul would have been standing around going, "This is me, this is us"? Because Paul had a bit of an ego. And you would expect that perhaps he would revel in all of this adulation and this being heralded, but he's annoyed. And that has puzzled me, and so I decided to kind of try and take that apart. I'm not sure I answered it. By the end of the sermon, you'll have to decide whether I've answered it or whether you can answer. Why is he annoyed? She is obviously authentic. It isn't like she's claiming something that's false. And she's about celebrating the good news. You remember there was another time when some people were proclaiming Jesus, and the disciples said, Lord, they're teaching, you know, but they're not a part of our gathering. And Jesus, what did he tell them? If they are not against us, they are for us. It's okay. We don't own this thing. Right is right. This girl is right. She's accurate. These are good God's workers. These are the real McCoy, as I said. But Paul is annoyed. Perhaps he's just reflecting on an Old Testament scripture. And it was clear to people in that day and age, good Jewish people. Deuteronomy says, no one shall be found among you who practices divination or is a soothsayer or an augur or a sorcerer. These were other rites and other religions and other traditions. Let me step aside for a moment. In 1990, I led a mission team to Haiti. You've heard of Haiti, the poorest nation in our hemisphere. At any rate, we arrived there and we talked to some of the people, and you recall that Haiti, his native religion was voodoo. And so we talked about it a bit, and the woman there said the first people that came to Haiti, the first Christians, were Roman Catholics. And so they converted the voodoo worshipers to Catholicism, and they renamed all of the voodoo divinities. They just added the names of the saints to fit in with the same sets of gods and many gods. And so it was really just voodoo in a different name. But when the Protestants came in, they said, no, there's only one God. There's only one way. And all of the rest of that must be set aside. And they said that was a major moment of transformation. People that would accept that idea and leave behind all of their many gods and their many icons and their many ways of being, that was a big step to give it all over to God. It's a big step for us, isn't it? Give up all of the other things that seem very important to us, that seem that the rest of the nation are claiming. None of this is in my sermon. Get me back here. Come on. Why do you suppose Paul is annoyed? He doesn't condemn the spirit when he casts it out. Did you hear that? Normally in an exorcism, come out, evil spirit, you know, be banished. There's a case when Jesus casts the spirits, the legion, into the pigs, recall, and then they run over the cliff, and they're evil, and they're cast out, and there's no dialogue with them. Leave us alone, you most holy, high, worshipful. There's none of that. There's a simple ending of her soothsaying. We could try and analyze Paul, but I really don't want to. So if you want to, you can do that on your own and dive in with it. But let's just acknowledge this exorcism where Paul orders a spirit out of the slave girl. Her owners can no longer use her now to make money. They're pretty upset. They have Paul charged. And here's an interesting thing. They charge him not with destroying their source of income. They charge him with being Jews and disrupting things. I thought that was intriguing. Why wouldn't they say what Paul did? There's obvious that she has lost her spirit of divination, that Paul has cast this spirit out of her. He's done this exorcism, and they have lost their ability to make money with her. Was there a part of them that was aware of how unjust that was? Was there a part of them that acknowledged that this was usury? That this was false way of being humanity, to use another being to earn money for you? I don't know. We don't have any of that in the text. And what happens to the woman afterwards? We don't have a squeak. We don't hear a word. Did she go on to a better life? Was she still a slave girl? Probably. Was she esteemed by those who owned her? We don't know. We hope, perhaps, that she was able to find some better journey. At the very least, she was able to see God's agents and to have the testimony of the most faithful. But nonetheless, we need to stop and acknowledge this slave girl and this injustice that was going on. Slavery was there. Slavery was during Jesus' time, and he did he confront that? There's a lot of arguments in a lot of different directions on that, because slavery is an injustice and is unacceptable. But here are the owners who are using her, using her gifts and graces, not for her in any way, but for their own gain. That's an injustice. That's usury. They're using her to make profit. They're abusing her abilities, if you will. So this becomes an issue of power and justice, does it not? We need to pause and think about that. We need to pause and think about the different ways and things that are about our culture and our humanity, where we might abuse some of our basic principles on the basis of benefit or profit. Sometimes it's so nebulous we're not even aware of what we're doing or how we're doing it or how we benefit from something. But we need to give close thought to that as followers of Jesus Christ, as those faithful ones. And we need to be annoyed when we discover those places of injustice. Paul was annoyed. It was a good thing he was annoyed enough to confront this injustice, to get in the middle of it. He's annoyed to the point of activity. God, may we all be annoyed past our inactivity to do something, to care and to be about things. I think most of us here are members of the church. I don't know, and it doesn't matter, but in the United Methodist tradition, our membership vows include some set sentences. One of them is, do you acknowledge the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And the persons coming for membership respond, we do. We accept the power that God gives us. The freedom and the power, but now we need to be annoyed to get on with it. So here we sit, and we are in a world in the midst of sometimes calmness, sometimes just a beautiful harmony. But in the midst of that, if there are injustices, who is going to stand up? Whose job is that? It is our job as Christians. Jesus is the righteous one of God. And Jesus calls us to righteousness. Righteousness is another way of saying justice, of properness, of doing right things and doing them fairly. Opposing evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms we find them. Lord God, guide us to be those Christians, to be annoyed enough to stand and to act and to bring righteousness. Amen? Amen.